Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Tuesday, June the 30th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. And we're going to start today with the findings of a major review into NHS maternity services. It's been led by Baroness Amos and has found the system is not fit to consistently deliver high-quality care. She also found unacceptable discrimination and has concluded it requires urgent reform. 8 changes have been recommended in today's report, including the appointment of a maternity commissioner. Now, East Kent Hospitals was part of this review, and families have reported that maternity care there is still fragmented, but staff say morale has improved. It was included in the review to see what had been done since a damning Reading the Signals report by Dr. Bill Kirkup, which was published in 2022. That found that 45 baby deaths at the Trust could have been prevented with better care. Zoe Finn is from Hythe, and her baby was stillborn at the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford last year. She's praised the care that she received, but says that should be the same for every mother.
I think that really frustrates me, the fact that there are women out there that are going through exactly what we've gone through and they don't have an option to stay anywhere. Like, that, there's something wrong there. Something has got to change. And I think had I not have gone through what we went through, I would have been like, okay, you know, the NHS is struggling, so I understand. But actually, I think staying in that bereavement suite really helped our mental health and really helped us process grief going forwards. But it really does amaze me that there is no, like in some hospitals that, like we were told this, some hospitals and there's nothing. And I just think that is absolutely like borderline disgusting. Like there needs to be something, even if it's a room and there's a bed, you know, a little ensuite, there needs to just be something little that can just help that lady and that family going through it.
I'm sure you've heard through your fundraising with Abigail's, and obviously I have working with the charity, that some women are sent back to maternity units and they hear newborn babies. I mean, the thought of that is just horrendous,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember after I had Carter, because he suffered, or what happened was called fetomaternal hemorrhage, but our case was spontaneous, so it was extremely rare what happened. So his blood, about 3/4 of his blood leaked into my bloodstream, but because I'm a rare blood group, I kept on having to go back to the hospital every 2 days for anti-D shots. Had about 26 in total, which is like, the William Harvey said it was unheard of. They've only ever done 3. So I was like, but I kept on having to go up to the hospital every 2 days, and I had to go into the maternity daycare unit to have this, have these shots administered, which the midwives that I saw were the midwives that had cared for us in the first place. And they got me in, like they pretty much waited at the door, walked me straight past as quickly as they could, because it obviously has to be administered within that part. But for me, it was so, it's not their fault at all, because they're doing their job, but in cases like that, having to walk past pregnant women, you know, seeing newborns come past in prams was absolutely horrific. And I think going back up to the hospital every time, I just sort of switch off. Like, I've always been very maternal. If I see a baby, I'll be like, oh, that's like, look at that little baby. Whereas now I just sort of have to look away, because it's really, really triggering. And it's, you really don't think about the things that are going to trigger you. Adverts on the telly, you know, like families hearing a baby cry. Like, for me, why is that triggering? Because we never heard Carter cry.
How much would it mean to you if this review led to widespread change, and that the treatment you had was the same experience for all mums, and the facilities that you were able to use were the same for all mums? Are you hopeful that this review, because obviously there are some damning findings, will actually lead to some positive change?
I hope that no one goes through a loss, but unfortunately, that's just life, isn't it? But I hope that every single person, every single woman that goes through miscarriages, stillborns, any loss of a baby, the care that we receive should be the bare minimum. It should be every single midwife should be trained to give not just standard training, like, okay, this is the procedure we follow, this is what we do. It needs to be like, it needs to come from the heart, really. It needs to come like, this is a person going through the absolute worst thing that could happen, you know, like, I think losing a baby is horrendous enough, but then having to give birth to your baby, I don't think anything can prepare you for that. And then still having your body changing after, you know, placenta, you're still having to give birth to the placenta and everything else. Those women are struggling physically, emotionally and mentally. Like, it should be, that should be the bare minimum, like, for care. It shouldn't be like, why are we in this day and age that we have facilities, we have technology, we have, you know, we're understanding of people. Why are women still getting bad care? Like, that's not acceptable. And I completely understand when you hear these stories, it breaks my heart, because I think that's not acceptable. Like, that is just, it's just not acceptable. It should be that they are given the absolute utmost care. Like, it shouldn't be, oh, we'll do that later. Like, absolutely not. Like, that person needs to be your priority, because something that you're not doing straight away could impact them further on down the line.
We're incredibly grateful to Zoe for chatting to the podcast today. Now, Dr. Des Holden is the Acting Chief Executive for East Kent Hospitals. He's issued a statement and it says, today's report identifies a number of positive changes within our maternity service since the publication of Dr. Bill Kirkup's Reading the Signals investigation in 2022. It also describes concerns raised by families and staff that we fully acknowledge and are responding to. It goes on to say, we are committed to continuing our improvement programme to ensure long-term, consistent and sustained change in maternity and neonatal care for families and staff.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a Dover man who subjected his two stepdaughters to years of sexual abuse has been jailed. Dominic Scott also threatened to kill them if they told anyone about what had happened. The 53-year-old from Winchelsea Street has been locked up for 18 years. Both women have waived their right to anonymity. You can read their story in full by heading to the website. A man's been taken to hospital after being punched in the face outside a pub in Sittingbourne. It happened in West Street on Saturday night. A 23-year-old man arrested by police has been released without charge. They're now searching for a suspect who was wearing a white football t-shirt, blue jeans and baseball cap. Nigel Farage has shared a picture of graffiti in Kent which seems to be calling for his assassination. Words have been sprayed on a wall in Folkestone. The Reform UK leader has previously been targeted with death threats. Police have been contacted for a comment. Now, a leading Kent politician has told the Kent Online podcast that Andy Burnham is the right man to lead the country and reform how local government works. The former Manchester mayor has been setting out his plans for if he becomes Prime Minister, including transferring power away from Whitehall. He also wants to give regions more control over things like transport and housing. I've been chatting to Vince Maple, who's the leader of Medway Council.
He's a trailblazer when it comes to things like devolution, which could really add huge value to places like Kent and Medway, not least with things like public transport, which again, lots and lots of people raise with me on a regular basis. Even as a unitary authority, we're limited in what we can do. So more powers from places like that. And if someone's going to be our Prime Minister who's got that experience, that's something I would welcome.
Yeah, everyone has been saying what a great job he did in Greater Manchester. Is that the sort of things you would want to see filter into to Number 10, maybe some of the ideas that he put into place there that could be used across the country?
Oh, look, there's no doubt that since this government got elected in 2024, we've seen the kind of accelerator pressed on devolution, local government reorganisation, not for the sake of it, but actually for the better outcomes. And I think if the person at the top now will be someone who's had a decade of experience of Real time running of those services, learning those experiences. There is no coincidence that Manchester is the fastest growing economic region in the country. That's because of Andy Burnham's leadership. And if he is the next Labour leader, and that's looking increasingly likely, I look forward to welcoming with him in my role here in Medway.
Could we have a mayor in Kent then, do you think, going forward? Because there's been a to and fro in as to whether that would be a position or not. He was obviously a very successful one. Could he say that actually when this change in how we're all structured is going to come into force, that perhaps mayors do play a part in that?
Well, there's two parts to this. We did ask for that originally. We were supportive across our 14 councils of the region of Kent and Medway, Medway Council, KCC, and the 12 districts and boroughs. Government said at that time the governance structures, because it would look to the two upper tier authorities, just wouldn't work because one of us, Medway, is 16% and KCC is 84%. So there wasn't a governance structure that would work. The changes that we'll see in 2028 with local government reorganisation changes that for us. The other thing that's worth saying, and this has kind of almost gone under the radar a bit, government have invited us to consider something called Foundation Strategic Authority. I refer to it in other places like a Diet Coke version of a mayoral authority. You get some of the powers, some of the resources, and many people see it as a stepping stone. Again, 13 of the 14 councils have supported that. Regrettably, KCC didn't. We're waiting to hear back from government to whether that successful bid has come through or whether there's a view on that as well. So absolutely, the quicker we can improve things like skills and public transport for our community here in Medway and across the region of Kent and Medway, it's got to be a good thing.
And with a couple of years until another general election, obviously there's a lot of talk about the threat from reform, and obviously he managed to fend them off in Makerfield. Do you think he's the right man to come in to number 10 and fight off any kind of threat from reform on a much bigger scale?
Look, I was really pleased to join colleagues from Medway and wider Kent to go and join the campaign in Makerfield. It was quite clear Andy Burnham had a huge level of support. And part of that is actually because of his fantastic track record as a mayor. Look, I hope we take that hope and positivity. If Andy's our next prime minister, like I say, which is looking like he's going to be, we take that forward to the country. Part of the challenge over the last couple of years is that we've had some really good policies, some really good things which will improve the lives of residents across Kent and Medway. But the reality is perhaps the storytelling of that hasn't been as strong as it could have been at a national level. Andy Burnham is absolutely someone who's got the track record of being able to do that. And I hope with him leading the team, we'll be able to do that moving forward.
Kent Online reports.
A warning's been issued after jagged metalwork was found exposed on Woolmer Beach near Deal. It's thought to be the remnants of Second World War structures that have been uncovered by the tide after shingle moved near Granville Road. People have been urged to take care while swimming in the sea. Council bosses have told us they're investigating. Plans have been put forward for more than 200 homes on the site of a former civic centre and tannery in Ashford. If approved, we're told building on Tannery Lane and the nearby Kent Wool Growers plot could get underway next year. Follow us on socials or head to the website to see what it could look like. The applications are expected to be decided in the coming months. We now know, meantime, where the first homes which form part of the huge Otterpool Park development near Hythe will be built. It'll eventually have 10,000 properties across more than 1,700 acres near the former Folkestone Racecourse. 300 of them are set to go near Western Hanger Railway Station, and building could get underway in 2029. Now, next on today's episode, and teachers and support staff at Kent's biggest school are beginning another 3 days of strike action. Members of the National Education Union have criticised restructuring plans at Homewood in Tenterden, which will lead to job losses and pay cuts. A picket line was set up this morning. Adam Lawson is the Assistant Vice Principal of Teacher Learning.
It's incredibly sad that we've been put in this position. It's something that's really crept up on the school, that we've come to a situation where there's redundancies being made, there are cuts being made to staffing, some of our most important and key staff in the school, and at trust level, huge amounts of money has gone missing. This is not the fault of Homewood School, this is not the fault of the staff, this is not the fault of the students, but they're going to have to carry the weight of these cuts.
How has this affected you when you found out? What was the kind of overriding feeling? I know it's obviously you've got the sadness.
Yeah, on a personal level, it's really challenging to put into words. Homewood is a really, really special place. It's a really special school. And the people here care so much about their work. They have so much professional pride in their work, and they care a great deal about helping the young people to improve themselves and to give the best possible life chances. So I don't think I could even describe to you how important trying to reverse these changes are for the young people of this area and the staff to make this school a successful place once more.
And about the huge impact on the support staff and yourself,
yeah,
but also the knock-on effect that has to the pupils and the people joining in September. Yeah, you want to kind of summarise how it feels to kind of have that burden on the pupil side of things, how are they going to be feeling and how is this going to affect them?
Homewood is a wonderful school. It's set in an old woodland itself with a manor house. It's 55-acre site, and that requires a considerable number of staff to make sure that the students are safe and secure on a daily basis. So reducing the number of staff in the school, I think, is a considerable health and safety issue. But also, our students at times growing up require care beyond the teaching in the classroom, and reducing the hours of all of those staff involved in providing that care, as well as reducing one of our pastoral communities, is going to have an impact on the students that really need those people the most on a daily basis. And that's a real shame, because it's something that Homewood does really, really well, and it's something that we pride ourselves on, and taking that opportunities away from young people to access is a real shame.
Kent Online reports.
An organisation that supports cancer patients in Kent could be forced to close after losing its funding. The Crossroads Macmillan Volunteer Service, which has offices in Herne Bay and Wateringbury, is appealing for donations and sponsors so it can keep running. It helps up to 400 people across the county every year, but its current contract with Macmillan Cancer Support is due to end at the end of July. A Kent woman has been left unable to walk after having spinal surgery 13 years after a car crash. Ruth Baitup from East Peckham was diagnosed with a painful condition, and after multiple treatments, she was finally referred to a back surgeon in December last year. Now, the operation to decompress nerves at the base of her spine did go to plan, but her body reacted badly, and the 58-year-old now uses a wheelchair to get around. A fundraising page has been set up to help her pay for specialist equipment and a wet room in her home so she can keep her independence. A Kent homelessness charity has welcomed news that rough sleeping is no longer a crime. The government has got rid of something known as the Vagrancy Act. It was brought in more than 200 years ago to punish people for not having a home. Well, I've been speaking to Chris Thomas, who's from Canterbury-based Porchlight.
Charities have been calling for this to happen for a long, long time. And essentially, it's about recognising that people who are homeless, they need to be helped and not treated as criminals. So we're very happy that this has happened.
Yeah, as you say, an awful lot of charities are welcoming this news today. What is it going to mean in real terms? What difference do you at Porchlight think it's going to make?
OK, so the Vagrancy Act was around for about 200 years, and it's, you know, a very archaic law. And to be honest, you know, in this day and age, it's rarely used. But the fact it existed implied that if someone was sleeping on the streets, it was their fault, you know, and they weren't really deserving of kindness and support. So we are very, very happy to see it go. We hope that it signals a shift towards maybe more of a humane approach to helping people. You know, if someone's homeless, then they'll be listened to and supported to rebuild their lives instead of being at fault for their own situation.
Just explain to us what you guys at Porchlight do on a day-to-day basis, going out speaking to those people who do end up on the streets.
Yeah, so we have teams that go out across Kent and they make contact with people who are sleeping on the streets, because, you know, you have to imagine if you're out on the streets, a lot of people are out there, they're subject to sort of violence and abuse, and it's difficult for them to trust people. So our team spend the time to earn someone's trust and to start working with them to make sure they're safe, and to eventually bring them into, you know, that might be a Porchlight property or a council-run property. But as I say, you know, that people have gone through horrific experiences. So it's not always a case of someone accepting help straight away. There's a lot of work that has to go into that. And to come back round to the original point that we're talking about, that's why the end of the Vagrancy Act is so important because you know, again, it's about not allowing people to feel like they're at blame or they're at fault. It's about building trust instead of pushing someone away.
The government is saying that repealing this act and, you know, effectively changing the law, it will help them to end the problem of homelessness. Do you think it does go as a small way into doing that, or is there a lot more work that still needs to be done?
It's a small step. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, you know. But we're hoping that this signals the government's intention to start focusing on the measures that cause homelessness instead of sort of responding when someone is homeless.
Kent Online News.
A pool and arts club in Whitstable is facing a licensing battle amid a row over whether it should have a compulsory membership scheme. The Arches Club has applied for a premises licence for its new site on Oxford Street so it can sell alcohol, host sports events and play music. The council wants customers to be members, but the club owners think it should be voluntary. It'll be discussed at a meeting tomorrow. The landlord of a pub near Maidstone has criticised a gas company for closing a road for 3 days, affecting his trade. Jason Tharp says the Georgian in Leeds received virtually no passing custom while SGM were repairing a broken gas valve last week. The company says it was a dangerous defect and shutting the road was necessary to complete the works. They've also apologised for any inconvenience. A bid to save a famous First World War tank in Kent has taken a step forward. The Ashford Heritage and Memorial Charitable Foundation has been invited to work with the council on developing a bid for national lottery funding. The Grade 2 listed vehicle is nationally important but has deteriorated over time. And finally, if the skies are clear tonight, we're going to get a strawberry moon in Kent. It gets its name from the fruit harvest at this time of year rather than its actual colour. It should peak at 5 to 1 in the morning.
Kent Online Sports.
You're being given the chance to nominate who you think should get a top sporting award in Medway. Previous winners include Olympic gold medalist Nathan Hayes, wheelchair rugby coach Tom Coyd and England rugby captain Rachel Burford. Categories include Junior Club of the Year, Team of the Year and Unsung Heroes. The awards themselves will be given out in December. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.